Republicans conducted their convention this week, and POTUS spoke every night. To say that this is something different is an understatement. No sitting president nor candidate has ever done this before. We assume that the president believes his personality to be such a magnet that it will dramatically increase viewership. It should be noted that he had a bad week last week, with Steve Bannon being arrested on a Chinese billionaire's yacht, COVID still going strong, millions unemployed, and of course the Senate Intelligence Committee report, which essentially confirms illegal activity in the last election by the Russians, as well as a determination by a government agency that two persons serving in senior positions at DHS are illegally serving. Of course, all of this is ignored by his supporters, as one would expect, including our own Congresswoman, Ms. Stefanik, who was one of the lead cheerleaders when she spoke at the convention this week. Of great interest was comparative viewership. D's exceeded R's daily and in the aggregate, and Joe's speech was watched by more than those watching Mr. Trump. Even his supporters can't stand to listen. The White House is pushing the idea that its Social Security tax moratorium should ultimately be borne by the employer. This means that employers could be paying twice. The first time when the employee receives an increase in net take-home pay because Social Security has not been taken out, and the second is when that sum must be paid, presumably at the end of the year, absent congressional action. So much for Mr. Trump's small business concerns. We are still struggling in our business to understand what the rules are and whether or not this is a mandatory action. Nonetheless, it screams loud and clear, election year scam, again to be borne by small business. Where is Ms. Stefanik's voice on behalf of her small business constituents? The Fed announced a new strategy for dealing with the labor market as it attempts to bolster employment that will place less emphasis on controlling inflation. This is a major shift since the Fed had as a major tenet controlling inflation and not so much the workings of the labor market. It will be interesting to see how this evolves over the next year or so, since this is not likely to change even if Mr. Biden is elected president. Of course, the Fed will continue its low interest rate strategy, which in reality is part of its new strategy. Both conventions are now concluded, and there was a striking difference between the tone in each. The Republican convention was filled with doomsday warnings about the election of Joe Biden, while the Democratic convention was clearly anti-Trump, was nonetheless more positive. It is completely disingenuous for the parties to accuse the other of bringing bad tidings, as most of the convention advertising and general campaigning is in the negative and has been for many years. Our Congresswoman has now joined the chorus, and although she creates a facade of bipartisanship, she is in the top 20% of conservative and pro-Trump voters in Congress. This is not the voice of bipartisanship, nor reason. I was reading a George Will column in the Press Republican on Friday, in which he was discussing elections to the Yale Corporation Board of Directors, which is not particularly important to most of us. As usual, though, Mr. Will had some interesting insights that broadened this discussion. He posed a question about how we are handling experiences that may, in fact, conjure up prejudice, using the example of the art history department at Yale and its abandoning of a survey of European artists because it was simply a group of white men. Although I understand taking down statues that are offensive, changing terms that are offensive, etc., I think in many cases it is more important that we use these situations to educate us all and to pose the tough questions. So, we are not going to change racial prejudice unless we change the hearts and minds of all of us. And that really can only be accomplished by causing us to honestly think through our own attitudes and actions so that our behavior changes. Might not police departments ask academy attendees to think about their reaction when they see a black, Hispanic, or other minority in an activity and what their responses are to that? The situation in Kenosha, when Kyle Rittenhouse walked down the street past at least three police officers carrying a long rifle, at times with his hands up, would have been dealt with differently if he were black. The denials by officials makes them appear foolish. The officers on the scene should be reflecting on their actions and asking the tough questions.